But I want to jump in. Our time is well spent. I want to jump right into God's Word as we continue our Summer in the Psalm series and looking at a message today just titled with one word, praise, praise. And if you guys can get me started on that, we're going to look at Psalm 100 today. This is our third week in this series. We're looking at a number of different psalms as we walk through. But Psalm 100 is where I'll be reading. You can turn to it. You can go to it virtually, or we'll have it on the screen for you as well. It's a short little psalm of five verses, so I'm going to read the whole thing. It says this, "Shout for joy to the Lord." Can you do that? Somebody can. Amen. "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." Psalm 100. Father, in Jesus' name, thanks for your word. As we take a look at yet another psalm today, I pray, Lord God, that not only will you be celebrated, although we sure want that to take place, but I pray that we, your people, will be equipped in our lives for you. And in particular today, God, would you equip us as praisers, as worshipers in your church. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Church, would you pray with me? Lord, help me. Teach me, remind me to praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Why do what we do when we come to church? You don't have to answer it out loud. I'll give you a chance to answer some things out loud in a bit. But when we come in, that's my question to start you today. Why do we do what we do, the things we do when we come to church? I mean, most of us understand the spiritual significance of church. We're here or we're watching online. We recognize the importance of church as being a part of our walk with God. But my question wasn't really related to the importance of church or even why we have church, but rather, why do we do what we do once we get here? It's a fair question, the why question, because reality is, in life, overall, pretty much everything we do it because we can answer the why question. We know why we do it. We do it for a reason. I could illustrate it by asking you a few questions. Why do you brush your teeth? So you won't get cavities. Is that it? So you won't stink, right? Hygiene, so that I can kiss my wife, because that ain't happening unless I brush my teeth. I can assure you of that. Yeah. So we know we don't randomly brush our teeth. We brush our teeth because we know the answer to the question, why? There's a reason that we do it, is why we do it. Why do we sort our clothes before we wash them? Why? Come on, talk to me. About half of you are like, are you supposed to do that? That's why your white shirt looks pink, because you don't know what I'm talking about. Yeah, you know, your whole white outfit would be pink right there down front. Yeah. What clothes do we put together? We put all the what clothes? You put the white ones, the colors, the dark ones. We know why we do it. We do it for a reason. If somebody walked in and said, well, why are you separating those clothes into two piles? We would be able to answer the question. We would know why we were doing that. Why do we cook chicken before we eat it? Come on, talk to me. So we won't get sick. Man, it must taste a whole lot better also, right? Man, I can't imagine even trying to eat it raw, but we cook it so we won't get sick. We cook it well so that we won't get sick. When it comes to chicken, we cook it because it tastes better cooked, right? We know that. Come on, how many of you will believe with me that there's going to be some fried chicken at the marriage supper of the Lamb? Hello, I need an amen up in here, right? Yes, because I grew up in the South. We're going to have fried chicken, biscuits, and gravy. It's green beans. They're going to be good seasoned green beans, not bland ones, all right? And some turnip greens, and that's the meal. So why do we slow down when we get to the traffic camera? Oh, come on, I caught you. I've lived here 3 years now. I know where all of them are now. They got me. They got me at first. When I first moved here, I got these sweet letters from Montgomery County welcoming me to the county with pictures of my car. They were like, nice to have you, buddy. Welcome to our community. We took pictures of you when you got here, and I got them. But now I know where they are. And what do when we're approaching them? Why do you slow down? Because you don't want your picture taken? Is that why? You don't want the $40 fine. That's what we don't want. We know why we... So we're not living our lives as these random, haphazard individuals. We understand the purpose and the meaning behind the things that we do. So I'll come back to the question for today, but don't answer this one out loud. Why do we do the things we do when we come to church? That's a fair question. If asked, I believe most of us could do good with some of them. If I asked, why does someone preach? Why does someone teach when we come to church? Most of us could answer it. We would say it's to motivate us. It's to encourage us. It's to challenge us or to provoke us to good works. It's sometimes to convict us in areas of our lives. And it's to teach us things. We know why someone preaches or teaches when we come to church. If I said, why do we give when we come to church? We would say, well, God calls us to give, and there are good things to give to, and we want to support our local church, and we understand the call to bring the tithes and offerings into the storehouse, and we want to dig a well in Senegal, or we know why we give, or maybe we would say, the Bible says that if I sow generously, I reap generously, and if I sow sparingly, I reap sparingly. And when we understand that, that's why we give. We're walking in those principles. Why do we pray at church? Because we know that God hears us when we pray, and it's how we communicate with God, and God responds to the prayers of His people. But today we're going to specifically consider praise. Why do we praise the Lord? Why do we sing songs of praise when we gather? Because I fear at times we are guilty, perhaps, of failing to understand fully why there is a praise portion to our service. Make sure you stay with me. And I know we fail to understand this at times because I have pastored a long time. I was in a podcast this week where an individual asked me, how long have you been in full-time ministry, pastoring churches? And I had to answer, over 30 years. And I thought to myself, how is that even possible for a young man like myself? That it has been over 30 years. But it has been that long. So I've done church for a long time. I've been in church for a long time and have pastored a long time. And so over the years, of course, I've had a lot of opportunity to watch people during church and see people during times of corporate praise and worship. And I need to say as I jump in today, first off, let me ask this, do you love me? That was a pretty good response. Because I'm going to step on a few toes today. I'm going to step on a few toes today. If you know that, you might want to pull them back up in your shoes, all right? I might step on a few toes today, so I need to know that you... Will you still love me when I'm done? It was less amens, but it was not too bad, yes. So most of us praise. Most of us praise. We don't all praise, but most of us praise. Most of us worship. And I'm sure that's true for most of you at home as well who are watching. But I fear at times we fail to grasp the power, the significance of praise in our lives, and in particular of praise in corporate gatherings. I was in the grocery store one time, and I came upon a woman who was pretty new to church. And I didn't really know her yet, but I knew she had been coming for maybe a few months. And I struck up a conversation with her. Hey, it's good to see you, and we've loved having you at church. And we're just talking, who do you know, how did you find us, how did you get there, and things like that. And somehow in the conversation, she said something that I couldn't have predicted or anticipated. I don't even know how it came about, but she said, well, I come to the second service each Sunday. And I stood there and I thought, second service? Because at the time, our church only had one service on Sunday. at 11. And I was like, second service? And I said, well, we only have one service on Sundays. And she was like, no. She says, I come to the one where you speak. I don't come to the one with the singing. Think about that. Somehow, in her way of thinking, she had split the service into two different events. There was this first service where people sang songs and things like that, and there was like a gap of some sort, and then there was another one where I spoke, and she thought that was the one that she was coming to. She wasn't coming to the first service, she was coming to the second service. Now, in all fairness to her, she was new. She didn't really know church. She didn't really understand praise or worship or things like that. And of course, I talked to her briefly in that setting about it and of what church was. And in a grocery store, a brief conversation about praise and things like that. But again, like I said, she didn't, in all fairness to her, she didn't get it because she was new. But I have heard stories about people from other churches, not this church. Are you with me? I'm not talking about Silver Spring Assembly today. I'm not talking about us. I have heard stories of people from other churches, maybe even in this community, and you know these people, you work with them and go to school with them, so you can tell them what I said since they're not in here. But I've heard stories about people from other churches along the way, and these are people who have been walking with God and in church for many years, and they miss the praise and worship time in church, but they haven't split it into two services. They just run late. Just going to let that hang there for a little bit. They haven't divided it. They just run late every week. So they miss the song portion because of that. Because there are some folks, I believe, who kind of view the song part of church as kind of like the filler time, the buffer time. You just got to get there while they're singing. And as long as you get there while they're singing, then you're there in time for the main event when pastor speaks. You got to be there in time for that. So although we don't break it down like she did in half, we still do the same thing. We still divide it. We still don't recognize the importance of it along the way. For such individuals, church is a priority. Coming to church is valued, but praise isn't. At least not corporate praise. It isn't valued the same. This happens because we don't know why we praise. Because if you knew why you praised, especially in a corporate setting, you wouldn't want to miss it. If you knew why you praise, we would put forth effort to be there. Now, I said I was going to step on some toes, so let me make sure that I don't leave those out who come to church on time, because I think they might feel left out right now. So, okay. Because right now there's someone in the room who's always here on time, and they feel left out. Because they feel like, well, a pastor made other people feel bad, and I still feel good, and that's not right. So now they want me to make them feel bad too, right? Are you with me? So let me keep going. Stay with me here. Because you see, there are others who come to church each Sunday, and they're at church on time, but they're no better off than the people who come to church late, because even though they're at church on time, they're still not praising. It's going to get really quiet in this Presbyterian church today. I see it coming. Yeah. So they're at church on time, but they're not praising. They're talking to each other in the lobby. They're talking to each other in the parking lot. They're on their phone at their seat. They're checking social media or texting somebody or playing a game or whatever else. They're just standing there with their mind somewhere. So they're at church, they're on time, but they're no different than the people that run late because they're still not praising. They're still not praising. Are you with me? You still love me, right? Still not singing, not clapping, not lifting our hands. In the room, but not praising. Now, you don't have to praise like someone else to be praising. All right, people praise differently. I get that, and it's important that we get that. I'm somewhat of an animated individual. So I'll watch the Phoenix Suns play the Milwaukee Bucks later today. I'm not even a soccer fan, and I still watched some of the Argentina-Brazil game last night because I'm just such a sports fan. Sorry, Juliana. Sorry, Brandos. I genuinely was pulling for Brazil. I really was. I wanted them to win. I wanted Brazil to win. I don't know if anybody's from Argentina in here. Shout out to Argentina. You did it. So, okay. But I was pulling for Brazil. I really was. But I'll watch the Bucks-Suns game later, and I want the Suns to win the title. It's CP3. Come on, all the years in the league. I want to see him win the championship. If you don't know basketball, I'm a basketball nut. And so I'll watch it. My wife won't be watching it, but she'll talk to me sometimes when I'm watching it, because while I'm watching the game, I start off on the couch, and I'll stay on the couch through a lot of it. But if it gets intense, even though I'm all by myself, I end up on my feet. I'm on my feet, and I'll be walking around the room, and then I'll start yelling at the television. I'll start yelling. I do it when I'm watching football, basketball. I'm like, he's open. I'm like, shoot. And my wife will call down sometimes, do you think they hear you? And I was just like, my personality is as such that I am expressive in that way. So of course in my praise and worship, I tend to be more expressive because that's just who I am. It's what I'm like. I would be like that in any setting. So of course I'm like that as well. So you don't have to be like me in praise and worship. Some people are very reserved across the board in life. They're always very reserved. So they're very reserved in their praise and worship because it's their personality. And that's how Jesus made you. There's nothing wrong with that. You don't have to be like anybody else. Come on, we're all unique. But you still have to praise. You still have to praise. We still sing to him. We still lift our hands. We still do these things. And we have to get here that when there is an opportunity for praise, we need to want to be a part of it. And when we don't, the devil must love it because he knows why we praise. And when I observe us not praising, sometimes I think, man, we don't know why we praise. So, man, it's already noon. You got to give me at least 15, 20 more minutes. You're good, right? Come on, this is good preaching, right? Somebody like the old days, I need for somebody to say, take your time, preacher. Somebody say that to me. Oh, my goodness. You're in for it now because a whole lot of people said it. I'm going to one. No. I won't. Yep. I'm going to get through it pretty quick, but stay with me. I want to equip you today. First thing, praise is what we do. Praise is what we do. And it's step one of gathering together. And we read it in verse 4 of Psalm 100. And I think we have it. We can put it up. Verse 4 of Psalm 100 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. That verse hangs over the entrance in our lobby. We walk under it every time we walk into the sanctuary. We enter. Praise is how we enter in. Praise is what we do. Many of us know the old song, praise is what I do. It's a great song, but it's not just a song. It's our lives. Praise is what we do. It's true. When God set his spiritual laws and principles in motion, he determined that where there was praise, that's where his manifest presence would be. So while God is always everywhere, we serve a God who is everywhere, who can still show up. Are you with me? God is everywhere, but God can still enter a room. And we say, well, wasn't he already there? Well, he was already there in a general sense, but he can manifest his presence, and he set these spiritual laws into motion that where there is praise, his presence would be there. And while it is true in our lives individually, there is a uniqueness to the manifestation of God's presence in a place of corporate praise and worship, even as Jesus declared that wherever two or three gather. There is a uniqueness to the gathering. That's why COVID was so crazy on us, because we did the best we could online, but we couldn't gather, and we were missing it. We were missing this in our lives, and it was so challenging for us. But God enhances his presence in a place where people gather together in his name. That's why praise is the first thing we do when we gather together, because God wants to meet with us, and we want to meet with him. Amen? So we enter his gates with thanksgiving. We enter his courts with praise. When we come in praising, we come in declaring, God, we want to meet with you. Because we know that where we praise, that's where you will be. But reality is, just because you come in doesn't mean you entered with praise. Praise can be going on in the room, but you have to choose to enter into the praise. You can choose to enter into the room, but not enter into the praise. You'll be in the room, but not in the praise. But we can't do that. So praise, again, is what we do, and it's what God made you for. We were created, second thing today, we were created to praise. That's because we were created to experience the presence of God. If praise is where the presence of God is, we were created to experience the presence of God. God wants to be with us. So that is why God created us for praise. It's not just about singing songs or lifting hands. It's about experiencing the presence of God in our lives. So God made us for presence. God wants presence so much, come on, that he gave his only begotten son, right? He gave us Jesus. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Why did God send Jesus? Why did Jesus come to earth, die on a cross, pay the price for our sins? It was about presence. It was about us getting to experience the presence of God here on earth and for all of eternity. For all of eternity. God is all about presence. So he made us with this purpose. Psalm 102 verse 18. I know Psalm 100 is our psalm today, but Psalm 102 verse 18. The psalmist is declaring some truths about God, and I love that he says this. He writes, let this be written for a future generation that a people not yet created may praise the Lord. That's us. We were the ones who hadn't been made yet. Hello. That's us. He wrote you into the story that a people not yet created, Psalm 102, 18, may praise the Lord. God is creating them. He created us for praise, and it's to experience his presence. Now, all of us have things we're good at and things that we're not so good at. Who's good at cooking? Raise your hand if you're good at cooking. All around the room, raise it up high. Listen, in the back, Brother David Silva. David Silva, raise your hands again if you're good at cooking. David Silva, I want you to write everybody's names down and raise your hand for me so I know who it is later when we're done. I need to know whose house to get invited over for lunch. If you didn't raise your hand after church, you say, Pastor, you want to come over for lunch? I'll be like, nope. I'll be like, because he raised his hand. I'm going over there. Yeah, so you're good at cooking. You know it. Who's good at, like, crafts and making things? You're good with your hands. Who is? My wife's a pro. A number of you are. You're good at those kind of things. Who's good at sleeping? Man, I'm so good at sleeping, I can do it with my eyes closed. I'm like a pro. We're good at sleeping. We like to sleep. We're good at that. All of us love to do the things that we're good at because we find fulfillment in doing the things that we're good at. If you're good at cooking, you like to cook because you're good at it. If you were lousy at it, you wouldn't want to do it. You want to do it because you're good at it. But you've got to get this. I know I've highlighted it over my time here, but you've got to get this. Remember, you're good at praising. You're good at it. You might be lousy at singing. Hello. And the person sitting next to you might be able to testify, yeah, they're lousy at singing. I didn't say you were good at singing. I didn't say you were good at playing an instrument. I said you're good at praising. You're good at praising is what you're good at because it's what you were made for. It's why we find fulfillment in giving God praise. There's a great quote that came to my mind in preparing this week from Albert Einstein that's kind of along this same thought process. Put that Albert Einstein quote up there for me. He says, everybody is a genius, but if you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it will live its whole life believing it is stupid. It's a great quote from Einstein. You can keep going. Here's the thing. You're good at praising. You will find fulfillment in praising because you were created to give God praise. Fish are good at swimming, so fish should swim. You're good at praising, you should praise. And it's important as a part of our lives. God created you for it. Now, when we praise, what we're doing is we're declaring truths about God. We're giving God honor and glory as we sing of and declare his greatness. We're praising God both for who he is and for all he's done and yet all he will do. And yet I'll still bring us back to the why question, because I think most of us know what praise is, but we might not always fully grasp the why we do it thing. I mean, is God on some big ego trip that he just needs to hear good things about himself all the time? Is that who God is? Is that why we do it and we're afraid of what he would do if we don't? No. When God created everything, God set laws into motion. He set both natural laws and spiritual laws into motion. You know, God set a gravity into motion. I'm looking for something that's safe to drop. So what happens when I let go of this pen? Talk to me. How many times will that happen? If I drop this 100 times, how many times will it hit the floor? 100 times. Because it is a natural law. You can't break it. But God also set spiritual laws into motion that are just as steadfast. And one of those is that where there was praise, that's where he would be. So if I praise God 100 times, how many times will God be there? 100 times. It is a spiritual law set into motion. It is a principle that he has established. Let me ask you a question about prayer and then come back to praise. How many of us believe that when we pray, something happens? Do we believe that? Sure. Sure we do. And of course, then it stands to reason that the opposite is true. If something happens, I heard Dr. Don Meyer was the first, I don't know if it's his, but he's the first person I ever heard say this. He used to be the president of the University of Valley Forge. He said this. He said, if something happens when we pray, then something doesn't when we don't. Think about that one for a second. Chew on that one. If something happens when we pray, then something doesn't when we don't. Well, guess what? Something happens when we praise. When we praise, things happen. And if something happens when we praise, then something doesn't when we don't. We miss something then that was a part of that along the way. It is a spiritual law. When we prayed, our praise, our God who is everywhere shows up. He tabernacles among us is the picture of Scripture. It's like God puts a tent up in the midst of it to inhabit praise. He lives in it. And most everything we can consider about praise is connected to the presence of God that is found in it. And here's what we all need to catch. See, the thing is, you can be in the room with someone and not really be with them. I stopped at the bagel place this morning to get bagels before I came to church. There were other people in the bagel place with me at the same time, but I wasn't with them. Are you with me? We were there at the same time, but I wasn't with them. Like if somebody had said to me, hey, were you in there with so-and-so? I'd be like, well, I mean, we were in there at the same time, but I wasn't with him. I don't even know that person. I'm not there with him. We're just in the same room at the same time. It isn't the same thing in that regard. So, church, I want you to catch something here. You can be in a room where the presence of God is manifest in praise and not be with God. You're just in the same room. Let that hang there for a second. Now, I know God is everywhere all the time, but I'm talking about the manifest presence of God. You can be in the room where God is manifesting his presence, but you're just in the room. You're not really with him, because the manifestation of the presence of God isn't in the room, it's in the praise. Did you hear what I just said? It's not in the room, it's in the praise. It's in the praise. So if I'm not praising, I'm not a part of it. I'm just in the room. I'm just there at the same time, and I'm missing that. It's in the praise that we experience the presence of God that he desires for us, and it is in that place of presence where we experience what God intended for us. I promise I'm going to be so fast, but I'm going to tell you 3 more things, and give me like 2 minutes on each of them, and I'm not lying. And the Baptist might beat you to the buffet today, sorry, but still, we'll get out. All right, here we go. Catch this. Praise is warfare. Praise is warfare. It's spiritual warfare. Praise is a weapon in your spiritual arsenal. It is a weapon wielded in spiritual battle. When we praise, things happen in a realm where our eyes cannot see and our ears cannot hear and our hands cannot touch. But things transpire in this spiritual realm when we praise. Most of us are familiar with the story of Jehoshaphat. It's a great illustration of this, where he is headed out to battle, and the Moabites and the Ammonites and those, I think, from Mount Seir had come and had banded themselves together to attack him. And the prophet came to Jehoshaphat to tell him, hey, God's going to give you victory. You've got to trust him in all of this. And when Jehoshaphat took the army to go out to the battle, what did he do? He gathered up the praisers and said, you guys go out front. Imagine that an army came to attack our building right now. And we were in here, and they were outside, and they were armed with guns and everything. They came to attack. We were like, Juliana, get out there. Take your guitar with you. Sarai, Grizel, Abner, Herb, get out there. Get out there. Get out there and start singing. He put the praisers out there first. And as they praise, the Bible says that God in the realm of the Spirit sent confusion in the enemy camp. And they were so confused that they fought amongst themselves and attacked themselves and defeated themselves. And the battle wasn't fought with material weapons. It was fought in the spiritual realm through their praise. Through their praise. In fact, I think we have the verse. We could read it really quick. It says this, 2 Chronicles 20:22. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat anointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army saying, give thanks to the Lord. Somebody say, give thanks to the Lord. Come on. For his love endures forever. Praise God. Praise God. The victory came in the praise. Every one of us is in a spiritual battle. Every one of us in this room, we all are. And there are victories and breakthroughs that we are going to experience through praise. Through praise. It's so important that we remember that. I can't help but wonder in Jehoshaphat's day if there was someone when he put the praisers out who stood there and said, but I don't like this song. I want to sing the other song. I don't like this song. I want to sing a different song. Oh, no, he's the one leading the song today? Come on. I wanted the other one to lead the song. I wanted the other guy to lead the song, not that one. I want to sing a different song. Can you imagine? There was an army there. Just give God praise. Give God praise. We praise God in any circumstance. We remember that. It's so important. Praise is not about you. Praise is not about me. It's about him. Amen? I think it was Francis Chan who I first heard say, he was talking to someone who said, I didn't really get anything out of praise and worship today, out of praise and worship today. And he replied, well, that's okay, because it wasn't about you anyway. It's about our God. It's about him that we lift our voices to in adoration. Let me keep moving fast. Let me keep moving. When we praise, Jesus is there and he goes to war for us. Next thing really quick, praise brings healing. The prophet Isaiah spoke of a great exchange taking place in our lives. My wife, and he connected it to praise, my wife is really good at exchanging things, way better than me because she's bolder than me and things like that. Like, I remember one time we bought shoes for our son, and he wore them for like 6 months of the school year, I think, and then the soles started to come off of him, and he was just a kid, like 8 or 9 years old, and my wife's like, I'm taking them back, and I'm like, you can't take them back. Like, he wore them for months, and she's like, I'm taking them back, and so we go to the shoe store, and she got the box, and she gets out to go in. I stayed in the car. I won't even go in with her. I'm serious. I'm just like, I'm not even going in there, because I don't know what this is going to be like. Yeah, so... And I'm just, I don't know how that's going to go. But you know what she walks out with? Brand new pair of shoes. Brand new pair of shoes. Here she comes. She's like, yeah, I exchanged them. I swapped them off. And she's really good at exchanging these. My stuff breaks, and I'm just like, yeah, I guess that's just my own tough luck. And I'm just out. But she'll swap it off and do that. But Isaiah speaks of this incredible exchange that we all have access to. It's in Isaiah 61:3. It says this, Isaiah 61:3, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, these are folks who are down, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. Look at this exchange that takes place. The oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair or heaviness, as many of us would know that as. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They exchange things for praise. Praise that. Wow. That is, sometimes when we're getting ready to go somewhere, my wife will walk in and she says, are you going to get dressed? And that confuses me because I think I'm already dressed. I mean, I already have clothes on. It's not like I'm sitting, I am dressed. She's like, oh, you going to wear that? I'm like, not now. Yeah. My wife said, but I'm wearing a green today, and that doesn't match green. And I'm like, what? When she does that, what do I have to do? I have to swap off. And then she said, how about this shirt? And I was like, oh yeah, I meant to put that shirt on. I don't even know what I was thinking. And then I put that one on, and I come out. And that's why I look so good, right? Hey, you got a good vote of confidence from most folks, yeah? Or they just want me to hurry up. So to do that, here's the thing: you can put on the garment of praise, and it is a garment that needs to be put on. Sometimes I wear something that I didn't feel like wearing just because she wants me to wear it. Oh, that was, who said aw? Sister Shirley Ann, that is so sweet of you. Let's do it again. Let's do it again. I know it's late, but let's do it again. Let's do it again. Everybody do what she did. Sometimes I wear something I didn't really want to wear because she wants me to wear it. Oh, man, oh, that's so sweet, Pastor. But here's the thing. Sometimes I don't feel like praising, and I have to put on the garment anyway. You put on the garment anyway, even if it's not what you felt like wearing. You put it on anyway. If I only praise when I feel like it, I'll miss my breakthrough. I'll miss what God was doing. So we wear it anyway. We put it on anyway, and this exchange takes place. This trade, because when we put praise on, other things are taken off. We put on a garment of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness and despair. When we put praise on, we take fear off. When we put praise on, we take stress off. When we put praise on, we take hurt off. We take bitterness off. We can't wear them at the same time. Most of us have experienced times where we were down or hurting or going through something, and we gave God praise, and all of a sudden we felt great, right? Because we took off what we shouldn't have had on, and we put on praise. And when you put on praise, you know what else you put on? You put on presence. You put on presence. And it is in the presence of God where there is fullness of joy. In the presence of God. And we put it on. And we come into that. Come on. You praise by yourself and should praise by yourself. But there is power in the manifestation of God's presence that comes in corporate praise and worship as well. But if we aren't careful, we'll miss our breakthrough because we stayed up too late on Saturday night and drug ourselves into church late on Sunday morning. I'm telling the truth. If we aren't careful, we'll come in with our minds clouded and groggy because we're exhausted or whatever else and drag in, and we can miss that opportunity. If we aren't careful, we will let conversations or other things distract us from what we really needed to be doing, and we will leave church the same way we were when we came in, even though God was there, because God was in the praise, but we were just in the building. Come on. We were just in the building. We got to be in the praise. In the praise. Last thing I promise. Praise is a seed. Praise is a seed. We get it. We know what seeds do. Juliana, go ahead and come as I wrap this one up, and their worship team can come with her. Praise is a seed. It germinates. Seeds grow. We know what seeds do. Seeds, they become plants. They produce fruit. They produce vegetation. And going back to Jehoshaphat, we can see what took place with him in 2 Chronicles 20:25. Put that verse up for me. 2 Chronicles 20:25 says, so Jehoshaphat and his men, this is after the whole thing where the army fought itself himself his enemy, they went to carry out off their plunder, and they found among them a great amount of equipment and clothing and also articles of value, more than they could take away. There was so much plunder that it took 3 days to collect it. 2 Chronicles 20:25. These were the spoils of war, but the war was not fought with swords or spears or bows and arrows. It was fought with praise. It was fought with praise, and God supplied for them. What if they had said, when God meets all my needs, then I'll start praising him? They miss it. They praised him, and then the provision came in that situation. They gave God praise up front, and that victory came in the presence. That would be like a farmer saying, I'll plant some crops once things start growing. That wouldn't make any sense. Well, I'll plant some tomatoes once tomato plants start growing. Like, what? They won't start growing unless you plant them. Praise is a seed. We sow it, and then there's fruit that comes from it as well. Praise God. We praise God for who he is and sow those seeds and trust God for supply, and we can't grow weary in doing good, because in due season, at the right time, we reap if we don't faint. I want to challenge you today as I end this to prioritize praise in your life. And I realize we're a praising church, but I'm talking about on a personal level as we connect to the corporate body on a week in and week out basis, to prioritize praise in your life. When I understand why I praise, I always cook the chicken before I eat it. Or she does most of the time. But it gets cooked. I don't eat it raw because I understand why. When I understand why I praise, when I know victories come, it sows seeds for a harvest, there's a battle that I am in. Now, when the opportunity comes, even for a corporate gathering for praise and worship, I know I gotta get there and enter in because I understand the why. I can't let myself be distracted. I understand the why. We're not just filling time. We're fighting a battle. We're sowing seeds, and healing is coming to the family of God in times of praise and worship. Stand with me. You were created for it. You're good at it. And through it, you will see victories and breakthroughs that can only be experienced in the presence of God and that are found through praise. Hallelujah. Somebody, before anybody leads you in a song or gives you anything to sing with your own voice, just begin to speak some words of praise to God. Come on, all across this room. Just begin to speak some words of praise to God. All across the room. Somebody begin to thank him. Somebody begin to praise him for the splendor of his holiness. Hallelujah. We praise you, God. We praise you, God, for who you are and for all your power, Lord God. We praise you for your greatness, Lord God. We praise you for giving your son Jesus to die for us and for paying the price for all of our sins, Lord God. We praise you for grace and rest and peace. We praise you for the fullness of joy that we experience in you, Lord God. We praise you, Lord God, that we're fearfully and wonderfully made, Lord God, that you made us for this place of praise and worship. We praise you, Lord God. And Lord God, I know that these things are true over every student, over every adult, over everyone in this room, as we give you praise. Hallelujah. Hear me. And then I want you to lead us in something, and we'll give God some praise here as we close. But hear me. Obviously, you're never too young to praise the Lord. Come on. I know every teenager in this room is fighting battles in your life. There's struggles all around. They don't start when you're an adult. Victories come in the praise. But here's the other thing. You can never outgrow praise or get too mature for it. There's no way to advance in my walk with him. I've been walking with God for decades. You can't outgrow it because these truths are all always going to be true over in the presence of God. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Let's worship him a bit before I pray to completely close us out. Yeah.
We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait.
Strength will rise.
Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength
give God praise with your hands and your voice. Amen. We praise you, Lord God. We magnify your name, O Lord. God, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, as we grow in our understanding of why we praise, that you would help each and every one of us to prioritize it in our lives in a fresh way, in a new way, Lord God, that we would experience you in fresh ways, in new ways, as we lift our voices together in adoration to you. I pray that corporate praise will always be a priority to us. I pray that we'll praise you when we're alone throughout the week, Lord God. May we praise you in the car, when we're commuting, when we're at home just taking care of things. Whatever we're doing, we're going to lift our voices to you and believe for the promises that you declare over it in your word to be experienced in our lives. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's prioritize praise. Amen. God bless you. You can keep leading us in that. You can dismiss yourselves as you're ready to go. God bless. Have a great week. Live victorious.